You're listening to the New Old Heads podcast, shot live every Tuesday at twitch.tv/newoldheads and released every Thursday at noon via bringingdowntheband.com. The show is brought to you by Coleman Dental, Printfinity, Indie CD and Vinyl. Support the show directly by becoming a member at patreon.com/newoldheads.
You're now tuned into the New Old Heads podcast. I am Major 7. The brothers are in the building. Starting off with my man, Jay Moore. How are you, sir?
Doing well. Fresh off the eclipse. You know how it goes.
Yeah. Good experience.
You know what? Honestly, I did not realize what a big deal it was until I saw some friends of mine who were teachers over the weekend. They're like, oh, yeah, we got the day off. I'm like, they're giving people the day off for this?
Yeah.
You know, and then there are businesses close to my business who didn't even open until 6 o'clock in the afternoon that day. Yeah, so I didn't know people were coming in from all over the world.
Annapolis had, what was the count? It was some
whole bunch of
crazy
extra people.
We'll just say a whole bunch of extra people.
It wasn't as much as they predicted, though.
Nah.
I think it was like 10% of what they predicted.
Yeah, they were talking about how it was going to mess up the traffic patterns and all this other stuff.
Didn't do none of that.
Yeah, it also has a lot to do with conspiracies and things of that nature,
yeah,
in my personal opinion.
My man Longevity, how are you, buddy?
Hi. Doing all right, man.
Yeah?
How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
Awesome.
You enjoyed the eclipse as well?
It was cool. I don't know.
All right.
Did you enjoy it? Did you buy the glasses?
I did not. I didn't get a chance to get the glasses, but definitely went outside and took a peek, and pretty cool. So DJ J Div, what's happening, man?
Salutations.
Sorry about that. How are you, sir?
I'm here, I guess. I seen the eclipse as well.
Talk about it. You're welcome.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy the eclipse as well?
I thought it was pretty dope, yeah.
It was pretty cool when it was like just the circle. You know, yeah, like,
because like you didn't need the glasses then.
Right. Yeah, that part I looked at.
You could see the solar flares and stuff jumping off the sun.
Yeah.
And I made like a contraption for my daughter because I didn't want her to keep looking at it.
Did you do like this?
A plate.
Plate. Yeah, I saw that.
I saw a lot.
And then she kept wanting mine because I didn't have a plate. So she would take them off and be like, I'm like, don't look at it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, but no, it was fun, man. You know, I sat on the back patio and
chill with the fam.
The temperature change and.
That's one thing I didn't feel. I didn't feel the temperature change. Maybe it was just.
Well, I sat out there though. So like I had cut the grass.
I see.
I was chilling. I had finished up everything and I was just sitting there and like you could really feel the temperature changing.
No, I could because.
You have been out there long enough to feel it.
Yeah.
Because once the sun came back, it came back.
Yeah. It was almost hotter once the sun came back.
It was brighter.
It was weird because like I didn't see any insects at all on my patio. And as soon as the sun came back, there was ants everywhere.
Everywhere.
And the birds kind of freaked them out.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the automatic outside lights turned on.
Oh, yeah.
That's what happened in my whole neighborhood
because, like, everybody has automatic lights in their garages.
Yeah.
So all the lights were on and then, of course, they turned back off. But, no, it was pretty dope, man.
Yeah.
It seemed like it was a long-ass day, too, because how it got dark and then sun came back out again.
Yeah.
And then it was light all the way into, like, 8-something.
Yeah, I didn't want to go back to work.
Yeah.
It was super bright.
I mean, I didn't want to go to work in the first place that day, but
yeah.
Good old rap beef on wax. So, as we all know, K Dot and J Cole had a bit of a. We talked about the Kendrick verse the other episode. So J Cole came back with a 7-minute drill response. Also dropped the album, which was I May Delete Later. Is that what it's called?
Yes,
I might delete. Did I get it right?
Something like that.
Okay. Had some heat on there. It wasn't the best, but it had some heat on there. And then this has actually happened since the disc, but we can talk about the disc and this and what you guys thought about it. But we can also talk about him retracting and saying that it didn't fit with him spiritually or I ought to find a comment because I don't want to misquote him. He had some type of that. Oh, you got a clip? Okay. Thank you.
Proud of that project, except for one part. It's one part of that shit that make me feel like, man, that's the lamest shit I ever did in my life, right? And I know this is not what a lot of people want to hear. I know I can hear my up there right now like, nah, don't do that. But I got to keep it 100 with y'all. So I felt conflicted because I'm like, bro, I know I don't really feel no way. But the world want to see blood. I don't know if y'all can feel that, but the world want to see blood. So I say all of that to say, in my spirit of trying to like get this music out, I ain't going to lie to y'all. I moved in a way that I feel spiritually feel bad on me. Like I try to like jab my back and I try to keep it friendly, but at the end of the day, when I listen to it and when it comes out and I see the talk, that don't sit right with my spirit. That make me feel disrupts my peace.
Mm-hmm.
So right. For me personally, I just don't like him, and here's why. Cole.
He says you don't like him.
Yeah. I like Cole. I like Cole.
Finish the statement.
Yeah, I like Cole. And we ain't gonna get that out there.
Don't like him.
I don't like this decision though, because he's jumped out before. It's not like this is the first time that you tried to respond to somebody. Like, this is what happens in rap music. We know it's not personal. He was talking about this is my guy anyway. But we know that. It's just sparring. So for you to go through all of this to put this into a rollout, get the diss record ready, go through it, execute it with bars, just to come back and say it doesn't sit well, I'm not rocking with that.
Yeah.
I'm not rocking with that choice.
I am.
I don't like it.
Yeah, it's a little different.
Y'all can go from there.
Yeah. I mean, I respect him being noble about it.
Noble. I like noble. I mean, I like noble.
He's being noble about it as far as him and Kendrick have a relationship. You know
what
I'm saying?
Yeah, they cool.
So, I mean, he's produced stuff on Section 80, which is one of Kendrick's magnum opus, you know what I'm saying, so to speak.
Facts.
But I don't know, in the nature of this battle, because this is the thing, it's different between a rap beef that is rooted in street politics.
True.
This particular rap beef or spat, whatever you want to call it, is rooted in lyricism, in my personal opinion. So I don't see it getting messy.
Nope.
Even as slick as Kendrick was talking in this 30-some-odd second verse, it's not him saying that I'm going to sick my goons on you when I see you. It's on. This is lyrical warfare.
Right.
And this is what Kendrick is built on. Kendrick, like, thrives on this. He talks about how much he practices, how there's a 16-year-old kid waiting to take my spot right now, and I have to be up to par. I have to be able to, you know what I'm saying, spat with this guy if he's coming from my spot. J. Cole has been taking little shots here and there.
Thank you.
You know what I'm saying? So with that being said, once Kendrick responds and then you respond and you want to walk it back. Now, I understand if you feel something on your spirit that's telling you that you probably shouldn't do it. You probably felt that on your spirit when you wrote that rhyme.
Thank you.
So
that's why it sounded the way it did.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So you probably just should have left it alone, or just, you know what I'm saying, said a little something. Just know that I acknowledge what you're doing, but I'm going to keep it cool. I probably would have respected that a little more. With me being a fan for both of them, I wanted to see this.
Thank you.
I wanted to see this happen and see it unfold and see where it's going to go.
Which goes to Cole's point of people wanting to see blood.
Well, not necessarily blood.
But that's not blood,
but that's
though.
What he means. He's not.
Yeah,
he's
yeah.
not saying.
He's not talking about.
He's talking about metaphorical blood.
But people
want to see Cole respond.
Conflict.
That's what he meant.
I mean, but at the end of the day, this hip hop thing, when you're at the top of your game, that's part of the exercise, though. Everybody at the top of the game has went at somebody, literally through all errors. You know what I'm saying? That's just what goes on. And him being in a position to, you know, take it on the chin and keep it moving, or even respond and keep responding until they start throwing the towel and call a truce, I think it could have been better. I think it would have been good for hip-hop, especially considering, you know what I'm saying, the nature of hip-hop now, how people are saying it's more filled with junk food, so to speak. This was a chance to really highlight the artists, the good artists that can really get at it lyrically and keep it on wax.
Show that skill set.
And move on. And, you know what I'm saying? I don't know. I think it could have went a little bit longer. But, I mean, I respect his decision. I can't be mad at that. But you can't throw rocks in there and hide your hands.
That's all I'm saying.
Especially if you've been jabbing here and there, you know what I'm saying, saying little slick lines. And then when I say something, jump out the window. Now it's kind of like I want to roll it back.
Jump in, Long.
I think you can, though. And here's why.
Mm.
I think you can as long as you are accountable. And I felt like Cole was accountable. That's the only argument to that I would even have. Is like, I feel like if Cole, like if he just got rid of it, you know, just deleted it, you know, after everybody's response was like, nah, it's mid or whatever and mm-hmm. all this stuff, and he just deleted it. But no, he sat down and he addressed it, and I feel like he was accountable for it. I think he was accountable for how not great of a diss track it really was. Like, it was a cool record. It wasn't great.
I thought it was cool.
It was cool, but that was it. You know,
the album itself was a release, because I don't even technically call this a release. I think
it's
an EP.
Yeah, the budget's not behind this. You know what it is.
It's just an EP he wanted to throw out real quick. I love the verses on there. I love some of the songs, but you can tell it's not like the project that he's really going to put out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think that kind of stood out as far as, you know, KDOT had his 30 seconds. I put out a whole album, not album, EP. Mm-hmm. And then the last song is the diss track, essentially.
Yeah, yeah.
But he was talking jazzy on the album.
I didn't listen to the album, so I can't even I can't even reference that.
Alchemist has a super nice beat on there.
Does he?
True.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where I'm like, oh, I like that song. Yeah. I like, you know, there's a couple joints on there I like.
He's rapping on there.
But see, I'm sorry.
Where you at on the were you finished long?
No, but it's whatever.
No. I'm sorry. Good. I interrupted. That was my fault.
It's all good. I mean, I can pick up whenever.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, you know, like all things considered, I mean, you guys know I've said this multiple times in the show. I don't care for rap beef.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't. It doesn't do anything for me. And I know I'm in the minority there. I, more so than anything else, when I look at all the pieces, I just respect the fact that a grown man had that conversation, and a grown man in hip hop had the I don't want to say fortitude or the ability. He literally went there. He's like, you know what? This is immature, almost, is what he was saying. This is immature of me. This is not where I want to be. I'm going to be accountable for this. I'm going to remove this because this isn't even how I felt. It feels bad with me. I was wrong. And I don't feel like we get that enough from our important people in hip hop culture in general. And so from that aspect, that stands out more than anything else to me. So
it's partly because, too, he was talking about Kendrick's releases. And he kind of played them off as they weren't that
He was good. Absolutely wrong.
It was 100% cap on how he broke down the album.
What he said to Pimp a Butterfly was a mid. I was like, sir,
come on, man.
I was like, no. But so I think he was wrong, and I think he kind of acknowledged that. So I think I just respect what he did, because I would really like to see hip-hop be... I know it's for the youth and all that stuff, but sometimes it's almost just too childish. Just from a maturity aspect. And so, like, I feel like that's a good example, in my opinion. And, you know, people can disagree. That's cool. But
I disagree.
Yeah, I know. Most people just want to see the battles and the battle back and forth. And, you know, like you said, you think it's good for hip hop and all that stuff. I think it's better in general for society to have more examples of people that... I don't think he's necessarily not standing on what he did. I think he realized that what he did was wrong. And that what he said was wrong, and he was being accountable. But like, you know what? I was on some bullshit. Let me be accountable for the fact that I was on. Because most of the time, he's like, nah, stand on the fact that you're on bullshit. Well, I don't want to stand on the fact that I'm on bullshit, because it's bullshit. And he was like, nah, I'm going to remove it. Because it was, that whole line about the all his projects was stupid.
Yeah, because
very stupid.
Especially compared to his projects.
Exactly.
Because they kind of align a little bit. And Kendrick's is a little better. My personal opinion, I rock with both of them.
Yeah, no.
But Kendrick's discography is better than J. Cole's.
I know we addressed this on the last episode.
We talked about that, yeah.
So I feel like that was, I don't know, I appreciated that aspect of it when he broke it down. And you know, cool. You know, if it was, I don't know.
I've heard other people say that they respect his maturity to be able to.
I respect it.
You know, like you said, like I've heard other people say that, but you know, just from the sports standpoint, like just looking at it for what it is.
I guess I'm
with Terry on that.
I guess too. At the same time, I don't look at music and art as a sport. I don't look at it as a competition like that. I know it's hip hop and it's supposed to be blah, 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 blah. That's what everybody says. I don't look at it like that. And I never have. Mm. And so, you know, sure, you can say it's sparring and getting yourself better, but you can do that without being disrespectful from my opinion.
What if I said it's not? What if I said that part of it is just a chamber of it? It's not the totality of rap, right. It's just a portion of it.
Yeah, I know.
You see what I'm saying? Like, that's the way I look at it. It's not like it's the grand scheme of things. It's a part of it. It's just a part of it that I like.
I don't know any like rock singers that do diss tracks back and forth like this, you know, where it's like a
thing. Probably
like,
it wasn't country really singers. Built on that though. Like the essence of hip hop kind of was, I'm better than you. My DJ is better than you. My crew is better than yours. But like when it comes to like, just battling, the whole thing wasn't about that. Like even when the Nas Jay-Z issue happened, they both had one song on their albums that addressed the situation.
Right.
The rest of the albums was
fire.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Just hip hop stuff.
Yeah.
And essentially, Jay-Z going at Nas awakened him. It made him better, because for a minute Nas wasn't Nas. You know what I'm saying? He wasn't dropping up to par stuff. In a lot of people's opinion.
Yeah.
Once Jay-Z kind of ignited him, it put a battery in his back and he was back. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I think in the nature of competition, it kind of helps these MCs be better, because now I'm hungry. I have a reason to be hungry. You know, people say they mature and I don't have a whole lot to rap about now.
Right.
But then something gives you that spark.
Yeah.
And it's not even all about this dude to just talk crazy to me. But I got to show that I still know how to rap.
For sure.
You know what I'm saying? So that's why I think it's kind of needed in some cases. And I'm not taking anything away from J. Cole or Kendrick.
That's a good example.
Because they're both rapping at a top tier level. Mm-hmm. I think the common denominator here is Drake. Kendrick obviously has had something against Drake for a minute. And seeing J. Cole link up with Drake.
Oh, you mean why Kendrick even did anything to begin with?
Yeah, I'm thinking him seeing J. Cole link up with Drake. It's like, all right, man, you know I really don't rock with dude like that. So I got to say something to you.
Yeah. And I feel like, I don't know. I get what you're saying and I agree to an extent. I do. But I've never really gotten in. When I first started rapping, all I did was do battle raps. That's all I did. So I get it. But it's
this
like,
is true.
When it comes down to it, I guess it's just never been.
Like Mike said, it's just a chamber.
Yeah.
It's not a main, but it's entertaining. You know what I'm saying? This is the 300 era that we get. You know what I'm saying?
And I think
Leonidas and them fighting.
And I think I knew that once I heard Cole's rebuttal, I was like, I didn't believe it from like when the beat came on. I was like, this is just stupid. Mm. And it's like, they're not really beefing. They're not really going at each other. Now, if Cole dropped something where it made sense, then maybe. Like if Kendrick went directly at Drake and then Drake responded, I would be more interested in that because it would, maybe there's a little bit more validity there. But like the, I don't know,
it's
just
like you linking up, and I don't even know if Kendrick really is dislikes Drake like that, but it just seems like it, because it seems like he mentioned something about, you know, his style, him having writers, that stuff has came up.
It always pops up
his lines,
and it could be to your point where maybe it was just an exercise for Kendrick. Maybe that's all it was. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
jump in there, Jay. What you think about this?
I would have been very much impressed if J. Cole had have done this without putting out this album. You know, like when you realize he's been throwing shots for quite a while now.
Facts.
On different people's projects. And, you know, and then finally, you know, the person he had been throwing shots at, you know, reaches out and smacks his hand. And now he's like, well, you know what? It didn't sit right in my spirit. I was like, where was all those other records sat right in your spirit?
That's the point.
You know, so I after you put out what is not an overwhelmingly great diss record, that most people are like, all right, well, you just capping now. Like, talk about how he doesn't really have his discography ain't that.
Yeah.
Then people are gotta be like, they gotta look at you crazy when you say stuff like that.
The trolls love that line too.
Yeah,
don't like Kendrick.
Just crazy.
You know, like
that's really the weakest line on the diss.
Facts.
You know, shout to Brother to the Night, but you know, he's like, oh no, Kendrick's been at this for a while.
Yeah.
Or not Kendrick, but
J. Cole.
J. Cole.
Yeah. J. Cole's been at this at a while, throwing shots at Kendrick.
I didn't realize, until someone, there's a whole
they've broken it down, you know, how you know, people on the internet, you know, I was like, oh, okay, this makes sense. So he's been doing this on, you know, Lil Yachty's project and this person's project. I was like, oh, okay, you know, Kendrick had finally just had enough. You know, and then like, you know, Kendrick comes and smacks your hand, and then you'd be like, well, I got to do something. And then when you do something and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, it doesn't sit right in my spirit. It's like, you know, it
could have been the approach that didn't fit right with him, too.
That could have been it.
You know, like maybe he doesn't need a 7-minute drill song about it. You know,
it seems like
he put a lot of energy into this diss record where Kendrick's was like a verse on something.
But when he talks to when he's in the concert part, and he alludes to his homies that are probably like in the background saying, oh, no, oh, no.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the verse is coming off as like a peer pressure.
Yeah.
This is like, well, I guess I got to do this because everybody's looking for
it. He said that it was a mid, what he called it himself, a mid pack or something like that.
Yeah. I don't know. I think just the fact that he's even taking it down from that perspective.
Yeah.
And that's cool, but at the same time, I'd have respected if you'd have said those words before you put out your mid diss record.
Yeah,
then I'd have been like, man, this is real maturity, and we're really moving in a way that I hope is positive. But like when I look at this, I'm like, you put out, if your diss record would have worked.
Yeah,
I don't know if you'd have such an apologetic.
That's
tone.
A good point.
Maybe not. But at the same time, people have the, you know, people. He probably could have felt it, and once it dropped, it was just like,
I kind of felt like it made sense for him to put out kind of just a little mid something, just to kind of keep the banter going. Because I mean, technically, Kendrick's he had a lot of entendres in there, but for Kendrick, that was kind of mid. I think it's more listenable than J. Cole's, because you were going to hear the Kendrick one on the radio.
True.
They're not going to play that J. Cole one at all.
No.
Matter of fact, I've literally heard that song at least one time a day since Kendrick dropped it. Not Future's verse.
No.
Only Kendrick's part. I've probably heard it once a day ever since it dropped.
This song has become nothing but Kendrick. It's not about Future.
Not about Kendrick at all. And it's kind of...
Or Future.
It's kind of like...
Not about Future at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, what, you know, when I'm in the spot, like, they go straight to Kendrick's
verse. They go straight to it. And it's kind of like a...
The other part
It's
suck.
Like a new part of... New version of I'm Bad almost. You know what I'm saying? How people keep... They play it. When they share it on like Instagram or behind their story, it's kind of like a bravado type of thing that's going on in the situation. So the Kendrick one is going to get more airplay. It's going to continue to, you know what I'm saying, trend. But J. Cole now is going to trend off of pretty much throwing in a white flag on this whole situation.
Let me ask y'all this, and I already know my answer, but has Drake's window closed, and do we care if he even puts anything out at this point? In response to this.
I don't care, but I never...
Because there's some people, posted some picture on his...
He's going to do that. He's going to make an Instagram post.
Right,
he's
like there's some picture with him talking about... some sneaky stuff, but I think the moment's gone.
Honestly, part of the reason why I don't care for... I was over it. That's why I didn't care. You know, by the time that J. Cole put out his record, I was over it. It was a quick little moment. Shout out to Kendrick, because once again, I didn't think I was going to hear from Kendrick for years. Like, I didn't think he was going to come down off the mountain with his, you know, riding his bike and hanging out with his kids and his wife. I thought after Mr. Morale, that was it.
Yeah,
I wouldn't go hear nothing. Maybe he'd jump on a Baby Keem song, but that's about it.
Yeah,
he'd just be playing on them songs anyway.
Exactly. So
definitely playing.
You know, I wasn't really expecting anything from Kendrick in the first place, but this is. Like I said, with Drake, and he's in a place right now where he can ignore this and he'll put out something, he'll put out another house music record or something, like, or another reggae or Afro beat. I think he cares. There is that part of him that is hip hop and, you know, that's competitive and he wants to chime in. But then there's the part of him that Drake is a business. Drake is a brand. And honestly, this doesn't serve him as a business nor a brand.
He's what he's doing. He's pocketing it. So what's going to happen is he's going to put out a 6 p.m. Other state. You know what I'm saying? And he's going to have a little slick line, a little jab here and there.
And that's
going to address it. And that's all it's going
to
be.
Yeah. But, you know, he remembers. Look, this. You remember we were about to come in here. This is several years ago. We've been doing this podcast a long time. Mm-hmm. When we were about to hop on and talk about how Drake, man, he got at Pusha T. Then, like, right before we were start to record. That's when Pusha T's disc record came out.
Oh, yeah.
And we had to change up the format of the show.
Yeah.
Because we were like, oh, Pusha T is a savage.
Yeah.
And he.
Story of eight.
And he got after his mom, his dad drinking with his suits.
His shoe deal.
Yeah.
He slaughtered all of that.
Yeah. So that's probably, you know, is it something that we heard over and over? But like sometimes a disc record is. Somebody puts it out and it's for the world, but that diss record was for you.
That was personal.
Yeah. That is, you know, that's the crazy thing about even when you talk about the takeover. Remember, the whole song wasn't about Nas.
Nah, just the last verse.
And so the song wound up being, you know, something for the world and be like, look what I said about this guy. But when Nas went back and did Ether, he's like, I want you to hear this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is how I feel about you. I'm going to talk about you.
The whole song.
And that was the whole song.
Good time in hip hop. That's all I gotta say.
I remember that era, and then when
I hated both those songs.
When Jadakiss was going at Beanie Siegel.
Oh my God.
I mean, like, this is when it was. Like, I heard what's his name? Joe Budden say this is when we didn't have all these internet outlets. All we had was Hot 97 and guns.
Yeah,
and so it would seem like it was a different time.
Yeah, so that's why I say that was different, because these is real street dudes going at each other. So it can lead to something else. The whole Biggie Tupac beef led to something else.
Right.
I never thought that this was going to lead.
This is two artists at the top of the game.
Yeah.
At the top of their game, in their prime, rapping at each other. I'm all for that, man. I like it. But it looks like it's over. So
yeah, probably.
Yeah, it's over.
Cole could have definitely, done better. Yeah. I'll just say that.
Kendrick is getting at somebody every time he drops something, though, essentially. except for his last project, because he's that last project was it was a healing project for him. This is him healing. But every other project, he's got at somebody or said something about somebody and pretty much dared you to say something about it.
What was
or
the
when he got on somebody else's stuff.
The cold line was what he said, the last album put everybody to sleep. He's talking about Mr. Morale. Wasn't that the bar?
No,
he said at the bar.
No, that was, he said the last. He said your first stuff was classic. Second was tragic. Your second one put people to sleep, which was
it was the second one.
So he talking about Pimp a Butterfly.
100%
That's where he lost me.
Yeah, that's cap.
Like, okay. The other statements were fine, but when he said that one would put people to sleep, it's like put people to think everything's boring to sleep.
Yeah, that album had We Gonna Be All Right. If Mortal that put you to sleep,
King Kunta.
Come on, that Cole. Album's come fire. On, Cole.
My favorite one from him.
If These Walls Could Talk.
Come on, man.
Isn't that one in like, isn't that the Pulitzer Prize album?
Yep. Library of Congress album. Yeah, come
I'm
on.
I'm just saying.
It's very, 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 very good.
Like very, very good.
It was just like when Cole said, like, Cole knows better.
You know better than that.
Yeah, and I think that's the part, like, when he apologized so fast, I was just, I don't know if it was an apology, but it was like when he retracted, I was just like, good, you should have.
Yeah, because if we're talking about Cole's first three albums, we're not talking about his mixtapes, his first three albums.
They're putting more people to sleep than To Pimp a Butterfly.
Listen, facts. I know more people that don't like J. Cole and say that he's boring.
I don't think he's boring.
I don't either.
And I don't either.
I like both of them.
Yeah, but
that's what made it kind of hard for me.
Yeah,
is because I like both of these cats.
Yeah,
but when it comes to whose albums I probably hold dear more, it's probably Kendrick.
That's not even close.
Not even close for me. Yeah. Love Cole's work, but they're not. Yeah. Sorry, man. And he know, like Lone said, he knows that. He knows that.
Yeah.
So.
He knows. He knew. That's why I was like, yeah. So I see the multifaceted stuff, and I get all your points. I don't know. I'm just, when I look at it, I'm like, I kind of wish. And maybe I think this is less of a hip hop thing and more just a societal thing. I appreciate those examples.
Right. Right.
And like, I feel like we need more of it. And we see it in a lot of artists as they get older too. So, but
yeah,
anyways,
I can dig it.
Boom, booda, boom.
Thanks to our partners. Dr. Coleman of Coleman Dental is our go-to dentist. He's a longtime Indianapolis arts and music supporter located right in Broad Ripple. Printfinity is a screen printing shop based in Indianapolis, owned and operated by our own DJ J. Diff. Our good friends at Indy CD and Vinyl operate one of the best record stores in North America. Shop new and used in their site or visit them in person. And the best way to support the new old heads is to visit our Patreon and become a member for as little as $3 a month. All details on newoldheads.com.
All right, we are back. Shout out to our partners. We appreciate them as always. Let's go ahead and get continue.
Yes, get continue.
Did I say get continue?
You did.
Let's get continued get continue. Out here.
Let's go buy some continue then.
All right. They selling continue.
Apparently, you can get continue. Huh?
Yeah, I guess so.
All right, man. Today's
Legend of Zelda.
Yeah. I remember somebody used to call it. You got to go get some love.
Get some love.
You get the hearts on Zelda. You got to get some love to extend your life.
Yeah.
There's a picture. I might do a screenshot. I'm not going to credit the person because I don't know this person. But it says
that's horrible.
Yeah, well, sorry.
Because, like, we've had those issues.
Oh, no. So you got to credit.
Shouts to Beans Anderson.
Is that who it is? Okay. Yeah, I had to zoom in. Thank you, Long. So, shout out to Beans.
Shout your sources.
Got
to. Cite your sources.
Got to. So he has a picture with Soulja Boy and Nip side by side. And he says, Soulja Boy, more of a rap legend than Nipsey was.
Yeah.
What do y'all think about that? Is there any merit to this?
Yeah, unfortunately.
Unfortunately.
You're honest. You're being honest.
No, I mean, you have to look at it like this. There are
people
who
can't speak with emotion on it.
Yeah.
They go by sales, what was on the radio, what was popping when they were outside, if you will. And at one point, Soulja Boy just had those records.
Yeah,
did. You know, unfortunately, a lot of you didn't care nothing about Nipsey until after he died.
Facts.
And that's, you know, just like I remember, you know, putting it out there. It's like, I don't want to hear any Nipsey Hussle, like, you know, tribute mixes on your commercial radio station when you didn't play his records anyway.
Right.
You didn't care nothing about him. And now it's like, oh, the marathon continues. Shut your ass up. You didn't care nothing about him when he was alive. You just thought some of you only knew him as a dude at Lauren London dates.
Yep.
You know, so from a commercial standpoint, from a standpoint
just historically,
of awareness.
Yeah.
You know, Soulja Boy got got those records, and he, you know, for as much as we make fun of him saying he was the first to do this, he was the first to do that, you know, he's right on a lot of that.
Some of it, he is.
He's very much right. Do I think Soulja Boy is a better rapper?
No,
do
that's
I
not
enjoy
even.
Enjoy anything Soulja Boy has done more than the marathon?
Or at all?
Yeah. Or at all? Slauson Boy? No, he doesn't have anything better than anything that Nipsey has done. But when you got to when you talk like there are TV shows, you know, Homicide: Life on the Streets is a much better show than, I don't know,
Soulja Boy's catalog.
than According to Jim. Yeah. you know what I'm saying? Yeah, sure, but yeah. we don't know that show like, you know, it was set in Baltimore. We don't know that show like we know According to Jim, because According to Jim was a mainstream hit that everybody admits wasn't a particularly great television. It didn't win any awards.
Never even heard of it.
Heard of it, never watched it.
Yeah,
heard the name.
But you know, when I say it's like
the Friends in the Wire.
Yeah, but when I say, you know, Homicide: Life on the Streets, most people who are listening have no idea what I'm talking about. So I mean, just like a lot of people who call themselves rap fans and people who listen to the radio every day didn't know about Nipsey Hussle until he died. So, I mean, I know this.
And that's cool.
Yeah, I mean, but this is blasphemous in a lot of ways, but at the same time, I completely understand. Yeah. Because right now, even we, you know, if you're in certain spaces, you don't hear Nipsey Hussle's music at all.
Nah.
I literally played it in the car 3 days ago.
In the car.
I mean, I still play it. I mean,
I still play
Nipsey Hussle.
Yeah.
And I really rarely have played Soulja Boy.
But you know, if you're at a wedding or something, at a wedding or graduation or at a prom,
yeah, you got to play Crack That Rings Off or something like that. But I mean, Soulja Boy's cultural influence on the rap game is solidified.
Yes.
Because he came in at a time where YouTube wasn't being used.
Yep.
And he capitalized off of that. He made very catchy songs that stuck. Whereas Nipsey Hussle is kind of would you consider him an urban legend now since he's gone?
I mean, I think he's legendary.
He's definitely legendary.
Especially when you factor in the fact that, you know, he was one of the first people to sell his project for like
a
lot of money and stuff like that. But his impact on that level of the culture, I don't think is as big. I think it's probably because Soulja Boy's crossed over into pop culture a little bit.
Yeah.
And plus Nipsey's what made him special was, outside of him making dope music, was the fact that he had the marathon store in his hood, stayed at home, pushed the brand. All that stuff goes into what he was talking about.
He was a
education
blueprint.
And
he was
building things
in the blueprint of giving back
to
the hood, and essentially that's what got him killed.
And that goes towards his went towards his legend. But one of y'all just said it. You talk about crossing over. I think you said that long.
Yeah.
Soulja Boy is across the world. No matter what I think about his catalog or whatever I think about, I don't even know any Soulja Boy songs, we're being honest, outside of the bigger records.
Yeah.
But we laugh at him saying he's the first, like Jay said, but
I mean, but he's been the first a lot of times.
Yes.
At the end of the day, though, in this particular situation, is what do you want to be remembered by?
Right.
I think Nipsey's impact is a more positive one, regardless of the content of his music, versus Soulja Boy. As far as what I would want to be remembered as, somebody that actually gave back.
Yeah.
Somebody that tried to do something positive.
Right.
And that's not taking anything away from Soulja Boy. That's just more so what I relate to versus Soulja Boy. Soulja Boy came up at a time where I was pretty much already grown.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm not going to relate to him the same way that a lot of the youth maybe have related to him or still do to a certain extent. But they don't really big up Soulja Boy anymore. It's basically all off of what he's already done.
I don't want to say he was a one-hit wonder, because
he wasn't.
He had a wave.
He had a wave. But like, if we're going to talk catalog.
Nah.
If we talk strictly like hip hop music, it's not even close. But talking about something that's a little bit bigger than that.
And you know that's,
which is unfortunate, and it's frustrating that conversation has to be had to a degree. Because
it is, but it just, that's something that I feel like we've always done on this show. Is this is one of those examples where sometimes you just got to keep it a buck, and we keep it a buck.
Yeah,
his influence and his overall impact is just bigger.
Yeah.
It's just bigger, lasted longer, and it just is. It is what it is.
But you know, people make these comparisons with artists that kind of don't even compare to each other.
Yeah, it doesn't even make sense, really.
Because when you think about it, if you think about the content of their music, it's not even in the same genre. I mean, it's rap. It's technically, but it's not,
yeah, but it's not really.
Yeah, it's not the same type of thing. Soulja Boy makes music as, I mean, they're both entertainment.
Right.
But Soulja Boy's is more so entertainment, a dancey, a childish.
It's even geared towards the youth, I would say. Yeah.
It's fun.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Nipsey is talking about life. You know what I'm saying? Stuff that really happened. Stuff that's going to motivate you to do something.
Right.
So it's going to, you know what I'm saying, put the battery in your back to start that business, to, you know what I'm saying, remove yourself from that situation. That's kind of how I see it. So I can't really compare the two artists like that.
Yeah. You know, the more I think about this and I get even extra nerdy on it, he says Soulja Boy is more of a rap legend than Nipsey. I would say he's more of a pioneer, but I don't know, I don't know if he's really more of a legend.
You think Nip might be more legendary in terms of when you look at hip hop as a whole?
Yeah, like in 20, well, I don't know.
Because Nip,
it's again, like to Terry's point, they don't even compare to, it doesn't make sense to compare.
But part of, unfortunately, Nip's legend is how he was removed from this earth.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's not, that's truly, unfortunately, it's not fair, you know, because
he's an icon out there, though.
Period.
By far. By far.
He is.
Out there.
You know, but, I mean, trust me, you know, I wish nothing but love, peace, and health to Soulja Boy. But, you know, if something happened to him, his situation will not be at the Staples Center.
No. Oh, you got me there.
No, that's very true.
Got me there.
And even some of the,
You got me there.
Yeah, that's very true.
And if it comes down to movies, life stories, tuning in to Nips before I'm tuning in Soulja Boy's. Yeah. Although both of them would probably be pretty good if they did it right.
Yeah, one of them.
But I'm more interested in seeing Nips' story.
Soulja Boy's feels like a documentary.
His is like TLC and Nipsey's is like HBO.
Like, or Lifetime.
Or something. Yeah. You know, it's
Soulja
like
Boy's is the Lifetime
story. Tubi.
Yeah, it's like, it's a little different.
Tubi got a little more heat on there than y'all think, though.
The same person playing
it. Does it really?
And they've got a lot of trash, too.
What you say, Lone, the same person?
Same person that played Soulja Boy, same person that played Jermaine Jackson. And that. Maybe not.
No, we can't have that.
Soulja Boy would probably play himself.
Why would you say that?
I don't know. Just making jokes.
Soulja Boy would probably play himself.
Couldn't wait to see you, Hazel.
Can't do this to our fans.
All right, man. Well, like you said, man.
Oh, people were mad that I bigged up Joe Jackson.
Lawrence Hilton Jacobs?
They were like,
Jackson in general.
Joe
Jackson in general. They were you're just endorsing abuse and this, that, and that. I was like,
I think it was how the clip was phrased more than anything. It was like, I made it sound that way on purpose. It was like, Joe Jackson is an American icon. You know, like this, when you start the clip with that.
People are going to be like, you know, people initially saw that first part and was like, y'all know he beat them kids. Yeah. Like, that's the first thing that comes to everybody's mind.
Mm-hmm. Beat them right to the Rock and Roll Hall.
We should just do a whole segment a week of just entire clips. Everything's out of context.
out of context, new old heads.
Insurance.
A whole new YouTube channel. New old heads out of context.
Man. There's plenty of stuff in that made-for-TV movie. There's tons of stuff we can go over
on
that.
You know what would be dope if somebody did? I don't know. I think I have the time for it. But if you know that channel where the guy, he always makes their eyes like really big, and he'll like take an interview and he'll like piece different random parts together to make his own narrative. So it'd be like, Tyler, the Creator, hates lemons or something stupid like that. And he'd be like, man, I hate lemons. Do you? You know, like, and everything is like cut from a different part of the interview. Yeah. So he makes, it'd be really funny if somebody did that to like our stuff, like,
oh my god,
have a whole conversation about. Yeah, I don't know. Any.
Shout out to Soulja Boy. You know, no disrespect to Nip, but
you gotta get on the internet and be real mad. Hey, y'all, say I ain't a legend.
I started Fruity Loops myself,
and then a week later, you're like, I was just playing.
I own Atari.
Yeah, yeah. Soulja console.
Okay, there we go.
Soldier game.
Did people actually get their game systems?
They did. There's this dude who was like, "Yeah, I got it," and it's basically
a modulator
system on a chip, like emulator. And half the games,
emulator. I mean,
they don't play. I mean, like, you'd have done better buying a modded Xbox from me.
Mm. I made a Raspberry Pi. I went and bought a Raspberry Pi and just put a whole bunch of games on there. It's probably better.
Nice.
Than the Soulja Boy unit. But I mean, nowadays you can buy systems that literally have like 10, 20, 30,000 games on them for like $100.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen that.
Get everything.
I mean, you know,
I'd love
Timu was popping with stuff like
I'm
that.
I'm telling you,
I'd love to play a full season of Tecmo Bowl right now. I'd make a little time for that. Yeah. Not Metronome. I'm talking about you don't want to do that. In general. We still gonna do that. Let's get into this last video here, Lone. I got this one queued up in our little section for suggestions. You'll find a video of Fabulous. Dr. Fabulous, and he is discussing
another one of these shit videos.
I'm sorry, man. He's discussing opportunities in hip hop.
Me in position. Put me in a position to do my thing. That's one of the most something somebody can give you. Not just give you money, because somebody give you money, you're going to spend it, and then you back needing money if you don't spend it right. If somebody give you opportunity, that's one of the most valuable somebody could give you. Somebody give you a chance to do something, but now it's on you. I'm going to get you studio. Let me see what you go in there and do. Now you go in the studio and sit around and smoke and drink and don't do nothing. Can't say nothing bad at them. I still try to come out here and say, yo, man, you gave me studio at this time. I had to get in my vibe. I didn't have enough time. We gave you studio and you said you're a rapper. That's it. That's most somebody could do for you is give you opportunity. Anytime somebody gave me an opportunity, I look at it as I got to make the most of the opportunity. That's how I got in the game. That's how I rap for Clue. Just got a random opportunity. And I said, I don't know when I'm going to get to the game. That's my story. My story is make it the most of, got a chance to make the most of it.
Absolutely.
I didn't get shot 9 times like 50. I ain't have built my own label like Jay. My was I got this opportunity and I fucking burnt it. And it led to where we sitting at now.
So, with the conversation about opportunities, I think it's two parts on here. One, I think he had a very good point about taking advantage of opportunities. But I also have felt like throughout the course of my time being involved with this, Lone will be able to attest with his own version of it. I feel like sometimes opportunities are not given out as much as they should be. Now, I'm not walking around thinking someone should present me or, you know, spoon feed me with opportunities or make me cut out steps. That's not what I'm talking about. But I've experienced sometimes where people will hoard opportunities. And sometimes it's people that's closer to you than you think. So I guess we can kind of look at it from a couple angles. One, taking advantage of opportunities, but also just in hip hop culture as a whole. Are opportunities given out as much as we think they are? Because I don't think so. In my personal opinion, I don't think so. Jay, you could jump in first if you want.
First of all, in just music overall, there's not as many opportunities to be given out.
Okay.
Like these record companies, I'm talking about, honestly, entertainment overall, the opportunities are drying up. You know, I mean.
Are you speaking from like a commercial type?
Yeah.
Because I'm talking, it doesn't necessarily have to be commercial. It could just be a look, an opportunity just in general. Like
I would need to know kind of what you really kind of mean by a look.
An opportunity.
Though. Because I like kind of vague.
I like the one that he used for
studio.
The studio. Or an opportunity to open for another artist. An opportunity to get a chance.
Those opportunities are there. I mean, literally every tour that comes to town, somebody's opening it is someone that you don't know who they are. That's their opportunity. And they had to do something in order to get that opportunity.
And
okay.
Being said, I don't think that opportunity means as much as people think that it does.
Exactly.
Okay.
I have opened for Slick Rick. I've been on stage and opened for Rakim.
Okay. I'm saying as far as people that are touring with these people.
Okay, touring may be different.
Yeah.
Okay. But what I'm saying is like a lot of these big opportunities are just that. And even when you capitalize off these things, what exactly is capitalizing off of? Well, you know, if we're speaking from this angle of just like opening for somebody, I don't think it means anything.
So let's do this one then. Let's say for example.
Studio may be a little bit different, but I still don't think it's just an opportunity.
Let's try this one. I won't use radio. Let's just say, for example, there was you knew somebody that knew a well-known producer.
Okay.
We all mutual friends. That person has a direct line to them. We're cool. All of us are cool. But that person chooses not to, you know, give you that direct line to the person that might be able to change your whole entire trajectory. Like, why would somebody try to hoard that is what I'm saying.
I don't think it's hoarding. I think hoarding
might be the wrong word, but.
No, but I think that it's.
Because I feel y'all on the show part. I understand the part, like Terry said. That's a good point.
Or trying to be a gatekeeper.
Right.
I think in
sometimes,
the Fabulous situation, what he's talking about is if you have that opportunity and you're put in place, look, Timberland is going to be at this studio.
Right.
I need you to come in here and do what you do.
Right.
And you show up and you don't seize the moment. I think that's more so what he's talking about.
No, yeah,
I can see that.
I see what he's saying. That's why I said twofold, because there's another side of it. But to your point, Terry, for what he's saying, 100%.
Well, the other 100%. Side of what he was saying is, why would you just give somebody the money? That's the Jay-Z part of it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? The conversation we had not too long ago, because he brought that up too. Mm-hmm. As far as if I want to put you in a position to win, why would I pay you? Like, essentially, I'm giving you money.
Right.
Versus just putting you in a position to show what you can actually do. And he's speaking from his experience. He was put in front of Clue.
Right.
And he had to do what he had to do, because he said that I didn't have the same resources that a Jay-Z had. I didn't have the same resources of...
Yeah, the story that 50 had.
50, right. You know what I'm saying? So I had to get in there and prove that I'm really about this rap life. And he seized the moment. I think he's more so speaking towards people that may have been put in those positions
and didn't capitalize
off of them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We don't know if these type of opportunities are presenting themselves around the country or the world, because we're not in these rooms.
True.
You know what I'm saying? So I can't really speak on this isn't happening anymore, because I'm sure it still is, and people are still dropping the ball, and some people are still seizing the moment. So right. I don't know.
Because I think what I don't want you guys to get confused is, I understand what Fab was saying. The part that I put on there was just from personal experience, just as an aside to what he's talking about. Still related to the topic of getting opportunities. That's all that was. But I get 100% what you're saying and what he's talking about, because you have to capitalize on it. It's on you if you don't.
So I
get the part.
I will also say that I don't think anybody is owed anything.
That's a good point.
To a degree, like when it comes to giving out opportunities, like, sure, I have personally put people in places to win many times.
Facts.
And I've been put on by people as well. But there's another piece that's at play, is like when somebody hits me up, mm-hmm. like there is responsibility with knowing your friends and knowing people that do things. If you have a relationship, if I have a relationship with you, Mike, just because I'm friendly with this person over here, which I do know people like this that are rappers that are good, but they're not prepared to be in a situation that this other person is in. You're up here, this person is down here. And sure, I could put you two together, but it might waste your time.
I respect that.
And I think that's the part that sometimes, you know, we may not understand that. You know, or maybe you wouldn't understand in that particular position, or maybe even me in a particular position, that sure, we do know the plug, but maybe we're not, from that person's perspective, maybe we're not in those positions to be ready to be at where we think we should be too.
I can respect that.
And I think when it comes down to an individualist standpoint, from that, you know, one-on-one or my plug or the people that I know, I only put people in those positions when I think it makes sense. So that's what I would say to that.
I got you.
And I don't think that that's gatekeeping. I think that that is just being respectable and from that perspective.
That's actually showing good intentions.
Yeah. You know, like if I have a young producer friend that really wants to work with an artist that I know, I'm not going to put them in contact with them unless their beats are really up to par to where they need to make sense to give them to them. Like, I'm not going to do that.
Right.
You know, and or maybe they're just not, maybe it's to protect them because they're not ready to deal with that type of business yet or something to that manner, wherever they're at. But back to the original point, to what Terry was saying.
Right.
And then I'll get out the way. I think it should be both the fabulous thing. I think, yeah, get the opportunity, but pay as well. When you say something like that, it really opens up the potential for people to abuse somebody else based upon just like, oh no, it's just like, no, the opportunity is there. Don't worry about getting paid. No, like, it depends on what it is. You know, like, if you're going to get on stage, you should probably be getting paid for it. If you're going to be in studio and you're going to record a verse with a producer and the producer is going to put this record out, you should get paid if this record gets out there and it's doing things. You know, the producer shouldn't eat all that money. Like, to the example we're saying earlier, I think it should be a combination of both. And I feel like that can be a little misleading for those that don't know, but I would agree that opportunities are more important if you know how to capitalize on them, because they don't come around all the time. And that's depending on what they are.
That's what Jay, you were saying earlier. You were talking about, you were speaking to a lack thereof opportunities. I think, right?
Look, there. I have a different perspective, just because, you know, at one point, say you you got into the booth and somebody could put you on wax, you know,
right?
And then you could sell these Now, okay, there's everything now, and this is might be dipping into something else. Everything is about subscriptions, memberships,
right,
and licenses,
right.
You're not selling anything. Even if you decide that you're going to, even if somebody says this person's dope, they have to find a way to market you and create money based on your talent that has nothing to do with you actually being good.
Right.
Okay. So your opportunity may not even come from you being talented. It's just, you might have something that somebody can sell. Now, that's always been the case, but a lot of times commerce was connected to talent. That's not what happens anymore, because so much of what commerce is about what you could do to connect to the people. And unfortunately, talent is not what always connects to the people, you know? So at when Fabulous, you know, he came out like, yo, he, you know, was like, oh, we could sell some CDs with this kid. He's talented. He's a rapper. Now, if you find somebody who may not be particularly talented, but you're like, we could sell this and we could create a deal with McDonald's and maybe T-Mobile or whatever. Like, that's how we're going to get our money from this person.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have really anything to do with their talent. It's just like, what can we sell here?
Right.
Or, you know, their records.
There's absolutely, you know, there used to be a real relationship between, you know, it was called radio and records. And like, now you don't have that because nobody's selling any records. You're selling licensing opportunities. You're selling memberships. You're selling subscriptions. And these things are not the same as actually selling a physical product. And so, like, you look for different things. So Fabulous is speaking from the old model of, if I can get on, people see my name, even on an underground level. You know, they see my name on a Klub mixtape. They might pick up that Klub mixtape. And then eventually, you know, when I get signed to a record label, they'll actually want to buy my album. You know, is there opportunity there? Can people take advantage of opportunity? But it's so much different than what the criteria for what you'd give an opportunity to somebody for.
Yeah, Spotify playlisting and stuff now.
Exactly.
You know, it's like,
You know, I mean, in another era, there are rappers who are popping right now who wouldn't have a chance because they're not talented enough. But because they have an image that we could market, that we could sell these subscriptions and licenses and memberships for, that's different than saying, can we sell them a CD? And so shout out to Fabulous for making the statement, you know what I'm saying? Cause I understand where he's coming from.
There's some truth in there.
There is some truth in there,
definitely,
but
some,
like,
truth in there.
You know, when I see when you can look at culture happen in real time and you see what is popping right now, you know, remember when Common Sense at the time, he said, you know, if you can get an image and a gimmick, and like, he was saying that not from a point of, you know, admiring people who have image and gimmicks, but right now, if you got an image and a gimmick, somebody's going to give you 50 pieces of silver.
It may not last.
It doesn't have to, because like, they're good. The whole thing is, they're going to move on to the next person that can create an opportunity for me to sell my subscriptions, my memberships, and my licenses.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think what Fab is talking about is a little different. I think that kind of goes towards like the person that's a one-stop shop. I'm doing everything myself. Versus somebody that is strictly about the music and just needs that opportunity to be put in a position to win. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think what he's really saying, if I have a chance to pay you for something, or I can put you in front of people that may be able to further your career, then choose that. Right. It's like show money. Like, you can make some money at the end of, let's say you do a show, right? You make $30 for a show, or $50. Well, you can go buy pizza with that money, or you can put that in the savings account.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same idea.
Or even like the same way with kind of like Eminem and the Game.
Mm-hmm.
Game was discovered by pretty much somebody saying, this dude can rap very well.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Dre hearing, okay, this dude can rap very well. Let's get him in the studio, see what he can do. And then he, you know what I'm saying, he capitalizes on that situation. Same way with Eminem. He got a tape. He listened to it. He's like, damn, this dude is good. Hit him up. Let's see if we can get him here. Yeah. He got there and he showed his ass. So it's like, once you get in those positions, make sure that you're ready, essentially.
For sure.
Versus not being prepared. Because he was saying, like, he's giving somebody, like he used the example of giving somebody a chance and they're in the studio and they're smoking and cutting up the whole time versus actually getting to work and showing these cats what you can do. Sure. And then at the end of the day, you blame it on, well, I was trying to get in my vibe and this, that, and the other.
There are some people who think they've made it just because they made it to the studio.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And then, you know, exactly. I've seen it to where
people I think we all have.
They've made it to the studio. They're in there. They're smoking and drinking and like they think it's a party. And then once, you know, the music they puts out is trash, they're like, man, I wasn't, you know, once again, when you're not ready, when you're presented an opportunity, you're not ready. That's where you get, that's where excuses become generated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But we could take it even locally, you know, like for a couple local dudes that have been doing it for a while, but think of TGI Free and think of Jetty, right?
Yeah.
Neither of these gentlemen were selected to be a part of Trees.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But then they did the
Jack Daniels,
the Jack Daniels thing, where it was like nothing. They got the show off.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And then they did well. And then they went to Choice and did the same thing. And both of them have continued that momentum.
They're still
from
reaping
that
the benefits of that labor.
And they're continuing to the cipher that came out around, you know, as well. So they're taking that opportunity and they are doing what they should be doing with it. So
watching that in real time is really cool when you see opportunities not being wasted.
Yeah.
And you see them manifest and turn into other things. It's really cool to watch that.
Yep. Especially when you kind of know these individuals and know that they've been built for a while.
Right.
And able to capitalize off of it.
Yeah. And let's keep it with the theme of everything. We don't have to say too much, but I mean, there's somebody sitting at this table that was a part of putting some of that, one of those people's on.
Somebody was.
Behind the scenes a little bit. Yeah. So, you know, it's like,
It's good to see, man, because everybody, we've all established what we've established with assistance.
Right.
I don't care what level, where it was at, how it was. All of us here have been assisted to get to where we
are. Absolutely.
So when you can get to the point where you can try to pay that forward and then also get a chance to watch it, that's a good feeling.
Yeah.
That's a good feeling because, Lone, you made a very good point that I did not think about when you said the stars might not be aligned correctly for the opportunity. That's one of the realest things I've ever heard you say, because it might not be the time. Now, some people everybody may not think like that, but it shows that you actually care about the person when you think that way.
I have been on both sides of that.
Yes. You know what I'm talking about.
I've been in positions where I'm like, why did you go there? You know,
exactly.
But at the same time, I've been in the other situation as well. Everybody sitting at this table has put people on in a variety of capacities.
Mm-hmm. Facts.
Probably a lot more than most people that you've ever talked to.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And, you know, it's delicate. It's a delicate situation sometimes because you're dealing with multiple things moving on. But for everything that I've said about us putting people on, I know for a fact that I've been put on a bazillion times as well.
Right.
Talk about it.
And so it's, you know, different plugs for different reasons. And it's all about being prepared in those opportunities and being able to willing to give them back out and to respect people that, you know, in that same manner. So,
you know what I think gets lost sometimes? And I feel like a while back we may have hinted on this, but I think sometimes what gets lost in the sauce is what type of person you are and how much that plays into opportunities that you might get.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're an asshole, the looks are not going to be the same.
I've said this repetitively.
Yeah, we've talked about that before, and I don't think people really grasp how important it is in terms of how you treat people, because this conversation right here is where that comes into play.
I have legitimately put people on shows that they didn't even know simply because I thought they were good people, and they were good fits.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I showed up to the show, and I was like, I told one to do one time, I was like, you know, I got you on this show. I was just, just kind of joking with him.
Not to stun or nothing.
I think the conversation naturally went there. He's like, I don't even know how they reached out. I was like, well,
they
reached out to me and I told him that you would be good for it and something like that. And so it's like, you just never know, like just being, again, I've said this many times in the show, the most important part of all this is just being likable.
Yeah.
You just have to be likable.
You'd be surprised how far that goes.
If you're not likable, you're going to miss out on so many opportunities.
I've said it before, manners will take you where money will not.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's facts.
Nah, man.
So keep being cool. Don't be an asshole.
Yeah, stay out the way.
And I'm an asshole. So don't be an asshole.
Shout out to Kanye.
Definitely. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Nah, shout out to Fab though. I see where he was going. And it's that's era talk too, because he's from a completely different you know, like
from the his first album dropped on 9/11.
Facts.
Yeah.
Facts.
I mean, like, granted, he had some mixtapes where he had features like with Clue and stuff, but I mean, his album came out the same day as The Blueprint, which was kind of rough.
Yeah, I mean,
it's 9/11 and it came out the same day.
Yeah, because they pushed The Blueprint up a week because everybody had it already.
Yeah.
You know, but once again, Fab is from the Selling Stuff era.
I forgot to tell y'all, too. I saw the Good Times trailer, man.
I don't like it.
I don't like it. I don't like it at all.
It's almost blaxploitation.
It's something that nobody asked for.
Yeah, bruh, I'm cool on
this
that.
This is very... And you remember on the show, I said, yeah, Ninth will probably take care of the music. It's going to be dope. In mind, I was thinking something completely different. Steph Curry is an executive producer. I don't think he
just put his name on something.
Man, it ain't going to go. It's almost embarrassing.
Yeah, it's trash. Alone. This is not. It's not good for the culture, my brother.
What culture?
Black culture. People.
The black people culture?
Huh. Yeah.
Well, I don't have anything to do with that.
And you're told every week you have nothing to do with it.
Yeah, we don't have to say that. Like, there'll just be people in the comments.
It's just so funny to when we read the comments, and it was like, once again, I saw one this week. It's like, yeah, that white dude is right, but he needs to shut the up.
I didn't see it.
And I'm thinking to myself, like, so he made a good point. It's a great point, but because he's white, you're like, nah, but he still need to be quiet. Yeah, he don't have a voice in this culture.
What? And the wild thing is, white people that tell you to be quiet.
Yeah, I think there was one this week. I was on the Kendrick thing. It was something like, because I think I mentioned something about Drake not being an MC
And
it's not even what I said. I just said, like, in comparison to Cole and Kendrick, he's got like house albums. Like, what are we talking about?
I'd be mad about Drake.
Kendrick raps every single time. Cole raps every single time. Drake does about 10%, 20% of the time. But yeah, somebody's like, no, it definitely is. I don't know.
I just don't understand, because we have never bashed Drake from a standpoint of not knowing who he is. We've all assessed him the correct way, I think. So yeah, it's not, nobody said he's trash at rap or nothing. Nobody said that.
But that wasn't the point of it anyway.
Yeah, it wasn't. It
wasn't about that.
People just want to fight online.
Get to fighting.
With no profile picture.
Yeah. I was about to say, yeah.
Somebody commented on something on one of them, on those, and it was like paragraphs, and I was just like,
thought I was going to read all that?
I thought I was going to reply.
I'm not reading your paragraphs, fam.
And cool, man.
You got to condense those.
You're not even the fart.
Sure wasn't expecting that. Yeah. That's a real thing, too. I didn't even realize.
I got some gas for you, though, buddy.
Send him a can of beans.
Oh my goodness, man.
Yeah. When push comes to shove.
I want somebody to diss me so I can start rapping again.
Oh yeah.
I'd get a bag of popcorn for that.
Push gonna show up to shove.
You thought you didn't want to do rap beef.
I don't.
So
I was just trying to prove your point, Terry.
Okay. One thing we do know, the beat will be good.
It's just about the insecurity in me. Bring the insecurity out.
All right.
Yeah. You'll be all right.
Oh, you said that. Oh, did you? I wish an engineer would diss me.
All right, man. Shout out to the chat if you stuck around. I can't see who's still in there, but we appreciate y'all for rocking with us.
Yep.
NewOldHeads.com for all the education you need this year. If you see it, like it, subscribe to it, hit the bell for notifications, and please go to iTunes. Anything you see that is star-based, please throw your kinfolk 5 stars and leave a comment. That
if
would,
you hit 4.5, we just think you hating.
Yeah,
I stole that from Monty Jones.
Yeah, we need 5 of them things. We appreciate the support as always, and we'll see y'all next week. Peace.
Yeah.
Goodbye.